This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, when you travel and you know, you got to catch up on some things here and there. And I saw, and I didn't really read into it much, but DJ LeMahieu got hurt again.
Yeah. The calf thing.
This is a calf thing.
But that's, I mean, that doesn't really, like, I brought up the heel one because that actually matters. LeMahieu, I mean,
all right, stop. So you got LeMahieu who's been injured like the last 3 years. I feel like there's always been something wrong with him. And I know that as I'm reading into this a little bit more now, how just, you know, disgusted he is that he got hurt again, especially with what he said he did this offseason to try to curtail some of this lower body injury stuff that he's been dealing with. And then he pulls a calf like on his second at bat in the spring training.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean, this is 37 years old. And this is why, you know, if you got to be smart about who you're signing, how long you're signing them to. And I know when he first got here,
they had to sign him. We were screaming about signing him. They had to bring him back. They had to.
But this is what happens. Like, this is why guys in their late 30s, no matter what sport they're playing, man, they just are not going to last.
No. I mean, and you kind of, it's not quite the same. But after a really, really great year and signing him to a long-term contract and then just watching it sort of go right down the tubes is sort of a Daniel Jones type of thing. Like, he came here, had that great year. It's like, you got to sign him now. You can't let him go. And you end up signing him, and it does. He never gets back to that form.
You know, it was amazing. When I got traded to the Jets, I remember reading articles like, they're trading for a 32-year-old guy whose best years are behind him and everything. And I remember reading all that. And that 32 at that time was considered older in our league just simply because it wasn't a 24-7. We didn't have, like, freaks like Tom Brady who, you know, basically wouldn't eat a cheeseburger, for God's sake.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it was year-round. I mean, we were working out year-round, no question about that. But, and now I think to today, and I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers at 41, is he going to play again? And Matthew Stafford at 37 signing a 2-year, $100 million deal. It's amazing, but I don't know. I think general managers who really have their finger on the pulse do the right thing, and they know when to jettison people and when to, you know, try to get younger in certain situations. I think John Lynch is kind of like the perfect example of that. Now, they didn't have a great year this year. They had a lot of guys injured. You know, Brandon Ayuk was injured. Debo Samuel was in a contract, standoff last year at this time. And, you know, 1 year later, he's removed.
Yeah. I mean, I also think Bill Belichick was the first to start doing that type of stuff. But there were times where he did it a little bit too early, and there were times that he did it right on time. I mean, remember the Ty Law one was a big deal.
Richard Seymour
was another one where it's like they'd rather get rid of the guy too early than get rid of the guy too late. And just from the, you know, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers again, just from that standpoint, because I'm curious to hear what you think, because you always talk about the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL that you played in. So Aaron Rodgers is part of one of the most iconic franchises in the NFL, the Green Bay Packers. Wins a Super Bowl there. He's a Ring of Honor guy there. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He won 4 MVPs there, right? So he's got that whole legacy wrapped up. Comes to the Jets because the Packers are done with him, wants to do something special, what he believes with a young team. Things just, it's a mess. Doesn't work out. So now he doesn't want to go out on that note.
I don't blame him.
Okay. But if the teams that he could win with don't want him, which is apparently, you know, the Steelers, the Rams, those are two out there. You know, the Raiders, I don't know if he's going to be able to win with the Raiders. But the team that doesn't want him that he wants to be a part of are saying no. And he's really going to now bounce from the Jets to the Giants? I mean, that scene, that is just like, reeks of pure desperation for a guy who shouldn't be desperate.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be. But unfortunately, what's happened to him over the last 2 years, and you saw the difficulties that the Jets had and some of the implied difficulties that the Green Bay Packers had later on in his career with Matt LaFleur. He won a couple of MVPs with him. You would think that he would have wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
But he got himself out of there, kind of like the way that Brett Favre got himself out of there.
Well, Brett Favre wanted to stay, though.
It felt very similar to me that, like, the Packers said, this is going to be Jordan Love. We got to give him a chance. And I guess Aaron recognized or read the tea leaves, or maybe he just got tired of the whole thing and they got tired of him.
What's going on with this camera? You guys hear this?
Put your microphone. You hear that?
Construction.
I thought it was construction, not the camera.
It's construction.
You sure?
Upstairs, yes.
Well, the camera was moving when it was, and it stopped, and it stopped. That's why I thought it was.
Yeah, right now the drilling has stopped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
God, I was scared of Helen.
Just to go back to Aaron Rodgers for a second, you know, what would be interesting to me, if he's going to be a cheap add-on for some team, because once the Jets cut him, somebody will just get him for the veteran minimum or maybe a little bit more than that. Kind of like what happened with Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers this past season. It would be interesting to me to see whether or not, maybe he goes to Minnesota.
Nah, stop it. You did this with Zach Wilson last offseason. I told you that was not happening. He's not coming to Minnesota. He's not. No way, no how. Nope.
You don't think so, huh?
I know so.
Okay.
Won't happen. He tried to mess with me with Zach Wilson last offseason. Zach Wilson's going to be on the Vikings. It ended up being Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones.
That's right. So now it could be Aaron Rodgers, J.J. McCarthy, and Daniel Jones.
No.
For the Vikings.
No. No.
Like, if I were Aaron Rodgers, that's where I would try to go.
Well, he wanted to be with the Rams.
Well, of course he would be right outside his front door. Just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then he is living the life of Brett Favre if he does this. It's the exact same situation.
Well, it's hard to let go, man. That's all I can tell you. And you can think about it any way you want. I'm just trying to think it from his perspective, that he probably feels that these last 2 years were such, a struggle, and to try to get through all of those things that, he'd like to be able to hook on with the team and hopefully have some success before he bows out. Kind of like Tom Brady did, kind of like Peyton Manning
did. Yeah, I know, but he's not. I never thought he was wired the same. That's why this is strange to me.
Yeah, I don't think he's wired the same either. That's why I say that I can understand why the Giants would have the conversation about him, but trying to bring him into the Giant offense without changing it to meet his demands or needs, that would be really tough.
Yeah, I just
They start out 2-5, and he's your starting quarterback. What happens?
Yeah, it's a nightmare. But if you just think about him being a complicated fella, as we talk about, that's been something, one of his labels. I really thought, at least when it came to this, that I had him figured out, in the sense of when he thought it was over and teams didn't want him, he'd be gone. You wouldn't hear from him. He'd be doing other things, the things in life that he wanted to do, he's been doing in the off seasons, and he'd be totally comfortable with that. And it's just, that's not the case. Like,
right,
he apparently wants
question.
To hang on.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
So the Titans have the first overall pick, and I'm sure that pick is worth a lot to them. And maybe they feel like there's something in Will Levis down there. I don't know. Why wouldn't they sign him in the AFC South? You're dealing with a new coach down there in Jacksonville. What's the quarterback situation in Indianapolis? And, you got to deal with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans in Houston. I mean, that's a place where, the Titans were in a lot of these games. Could they go for him? And would he want to go to Nashville? I could see him going to Nashville.
We're talking about two teams that finished 3-14 last year.
I know.
Why would he do that?
Because
they're
that maybe
both going to stink again.
That may be the only option for him.
But why would he want? It's just he's toiling now.
I could see. Remember when Brett Favre was traded here to the Jets? Everybody thought it was going to be great. He lasted 1 year. Mangini was out of here. The next thing you know, he's playing in the NFC Championship game for the Minnesota Vikings. That's why you never know.